Om Shanti and divine greetings to you all, and especially to our Bhai Sahib Brij Mohan Bhai, who arrived from Delhi today, and we are so fortunate to have him here once again in Gyan Sarovar. And on behalf of the 250 or so souls who are sitting here from the various countries, the Americas, Africa, the Middle East, many from Europe, from Australia, from Indonesia, from Malaysia. So on behalf of all of you and all those online, there are at least over 100 who have joined us online. So from all of us, and those online, welcome, Bhai Sahib. Brij Mohan Bhai has been with us for many, many years. He is a principal spokesman and secretary for the Brahma Kumaris. He started the correspondence course in Raj Yoga Meditation. He has written books. He has represented us at many conferences. And of course, he's been invited many times to international centers throughout the world. And today, he's going to speak to us and give us insights into our epic journey of togetherness. And I believe he's very accomplished to do this because he has been a surrendered soul for almost 50 years. And he himself, as you can tell, has been on this epic journey, on this long and exciting adventure, a heroic adventure, accomplishing so much. He's the editor of Purity magazine, and that's been around so long that we used to get it in manila envelopes with the Indian stamp about 3 or 4 weeks late. So Brij Mohan Bhai's efforts and journey started many, many years ago. And so we have the great fortune of all his experience and wisdom. And I'm sure he will amuse us as well, as he always does. And he will give easy solutions to difficult problems. Thank you so much for being with us. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. There are small journeys and there are big journeys. There are journeys with so many obstacles and hindrances, and there are smooth journeys. So naturally, some journeys take longer than other journeys. Who and what can perform fastest journey? For instance, I came from south of India to reach here. I had to have an overnight stay and then hop from one place to the other. And almost reached on time, but again it took something to reach here. Every journey has a beginning and an end. But there can be a journey which goes on and on and on and on. And that can be truly called an epic journey. Any journey which has to go on and on has to be cyclical. So, the beauty is that the traveler only knows the present of the journey and a bit of past of the journey, but the one who is the director and organizer of the journey knows the cyclical repetition of the journey. And we, Baba's Brahman souls, who emerge from the seed, are fortunate to know about our eternal journey, and that only happens at one time, the time of conjunction of beginning and end, so we can enjoy the past of the journey, the present of the journey, and the future of the journey. Am I speaking slow, fast, or okay? Okay. And then, journey can be partial. A journey can be all-encompassing. And it depends upon the memory that emerges about the journey. When the memory is merged, it is like a film rolled into something, and whatever appears on the screen is visible and enjoyable, and you can keep on linking as the scenes come on the screen, and we are enjoying what has happened up to now, and there is suspense and mystery about what is going to happen. That also gives joy, because if anything is revealed all at once, then what you call surprise element is gone. So we all know that all of us, not souls, all the souls of the world, but a small number of souls, what they call critical number of souls, we have been given the memory of our journey. So that's what Baba says, that when any child of Baba first comes to Baba, Baba gives us this understanding that you are my fortunate children of Kalpa ago. So this particular little knowledge, it seems, but it is so vital that first of all we transcend the feeling of our journey of one life. Normally a person who is not given this knowledge will think of only this present span of life. So much I have lived, And so much I expect to live. Maybe it may be cut short, but maximum this is my span of journey, and it will end. And when it ends, I do not know where I will go. It's a very, very limited understanding. And because the journey is confined only from birth to death, they say death is certain, but that time of death is not certain. So all our, the entire outlook, our entire planning is confined to just one limited span. And when we compare it with what understanding Baba has given us, we are ourselves astounded that, oh, Baba, from a small journey of one life, you have given us the memory, brought our memory alive of our eternal epic journey. And that also, not of isolation, but of togetherness. As they say, no man is an island. No person would like to travel alone for even a small distance or for a small period. And here, there is a whole full cycle of 5,000 years, which also is big enough, although other people in the world, the philosophers, the thinkers, the researchers, they have expanded it into millions of years, and there is uncertainty about when it is started and when it will end. So Baba has given us definite information about the duration of the one cycle of the journey and detailed knowledge about how it begins, how others join us, and then the traveler, the group of travelers, the number grows, and then how again everything is reduced to non-physical, non-material, metaphysical being, which Baba compares to a point of light. So, once we slowly and slowly get established even for short spells into our entity of point of light, then you know the speed of the journey, and we are without any encumbrances whatsoever, no physical body, no bodily attachments, no bodily limitations, neither geographical nor historical. We are beyond time and space. The only limitation in that journey is our own sanskaras or personality traits. That is what we have contained into ourselves. So that can change our trajectory. Instead of going straight and without encumbrances, we go zigzag. So then, even that journey as an incorporeal being gets disturbed. So Baba wants us to be in our lane and let others also be in their lane. That is only possible if we are, first of all, aware and conscious, and then we have the practice, long time of practice in performing this journey. Now, I would like any question so that I can proceed forward more. So far, so I have said the background. Now all of us are travelers. So anyone's experience which we will share and proceed further in our epic journey of togetherness. Possible or I have to proceed? Yeah.
Okay, my question is, what has been the main sanskars and karma of the dadis so that at the end of their journey, at the end of the cycle, they are still all living together in the same city of Hyderabad, Sindh, and so they can meet Brahma Baba and Shiv Baba and then start the yagya. So what has been their journey of those souls? Yes? Makes sense?
Please make it slow and little clear. I have understood the basic, but little more clarity is needed. Someone else can tell.
Someone can elaborate more.
Yes.
I think what you're saying is what is the story? How did the dadis end up in Sindh, Pakistan? What was their journey that brought them together at that point?
Because usually we know that life, one of the law of the drama is separation. And so we have been separating in different branches from one to the others. But still, amazingly, 300 souls have been still up to the end of the journey, stay together in one way or the other so that they can start the yagya again. Yes?
Little more.
Basically, how did the dadis, what was their karma, what was their journey that allowed them to all take birth in Sindh, Pakistan and start the whole journey of Raj Yoga meditation?
I see. Mm-hmm. You see, we are looking at a very limited compass in trying to understand the beginning of the new sapling or new plant. Just expand it. Even if it is Sindh, Pakistan, we have confined ourselves to a small location. Even in that Sindh, Pakistan, they were all not born in the same sector or same avenue. Sindh, Pakistan was a province, and they were born here and there, and they came together. You expand the scenario to today. All Baba's children are spread over from Greenland to Fiji to Chile and so on. How come that they have come together and now at least hundreds of them we are sitting here in Harmony Hall? It is just an expansion of the same question. The basic thing is, there is some common and joining factor. People come together, there is a simple saying, birds of the same feather flock together. So they come together. You see, migratory birds from Siberia come to a place called Bharatpur in India, bird sanctuary. They travel thousands of miles and all of them together at a particular season they come here and then they return. So there is a natural process of the souls coming together, especially in the beginning when it's a small new thing to start. So those souls are spread around that area only. Or you can take the example of any crop. For instance, the tea plant grows on hill slopes because it doesn't require water to gather at the roots, while rice grows in the water itself. So those seeds are such that they will only flourish in their particular specific locations of where those required ingredients are available. So it so happened that from the seed emerged the roots, and those roots are of a particular quality. There can be roots of a tobacco plant, there can be roots of a beetroot, and so on. So these souls, in the form of dadis, females mostly, but there were so many dadas also. So even the beginner was a male person, Baba. So they came together because of certain commonality of sanskars in all those souls. And it will again happen in the same way, because if all other conditions remain the same result will emerge, as is even scientifically explained. So, brother's question is very important. I also, when I came in Gyan, I used to think that a glass or a cup is made from so many ingredients coming from so many places. For instance, a cup of tea, the clay will be from one place, it will be collected, and the laborers will be from another place, machinery will come, and then that cup will be created, and then put the milk, the cows will be bred many places, and so on. So it may take about 1 million people to prepare a cup of tea. Now it is broken. The tree spills. How come in the next cycle, again all those ingredients will come together and I will have the same cup of tea? I used to think like that. I was thinking that all those ingredients which are scattered will collect together. But it is not that way. It is just emerging and then spreading out and then dissipating. Those things which have dissipated, supposing I go to Brazil and my fountain pen falls there, it doesn't mean that it will again return to India before the next cycle. It is not that way. It is one time only. It grows, it collects the ingredients from the matter, from natural elements, then it is consumed, and then all natural elements again merge into wherever they are scattered. Next cycle again it will happen. So it is not like things collecting back again. So the souls which return now of the dadis, as we now see, only one dadi, original dadi, is left in the body. So those souls have got those sanskars. The level of their effort or the service they have done or whatever they have collected in sanskars into their being, that will naturally take them in the paramdham also closer together. And then they will again return also in togetherness. I can give you a simpler example to explain this. You take a sack, a bag, and you start filling it with something, you will always find it will start filling from the bottom upwards. But if you want to consume the contents of the bag, it will start consuming from top downwards. I think I am able to explain this. You are putting, let us say, sugar in a bag, sack. So it will start collecting from bottom upwards, and when the bag is full and you are consuming the sugar, it will start reducing from top downwards. In the same way, our effort is being collected, filled from bottom upwards. But our reward of effort in the form of pralabdha, it collects and then it goes from up downwards. So that is the way. So if a soul, say I, the soul, am making effort. So Baba always says, you start from iron age, you reach copper age, children now you have to reach silver age, and finally you have to reach golden age and diamond age, bottom upwards. But when we come to the next cycle, new cycle, then it will be from golden age, slowly being consumed, reaching silver age, and then copper age, and like that. So we have to rise up, and then from there we will come down. So that explains that the souls at the end of Kali Yuga, all of us, may be spread anywhere. Now we are making effort. And for each soul is collecting into ourselves sanskaras. To the extent, to the level we are able to collect our sanskaras, our sack may be half filled, three-fourths filled, and so on. Say a soul is doing certain good actions which are qualifying the soul for golden age. But all the actions are not of that quality. Some actions are of silver age and so on. There may be some waste actions also. So the sack, because there is continuity in the drama. You cannot have two bursts in the golden age and then suddenly shift to the silver age. There is continuity, so it will settle down from bottom upwards. So that is how our pralabdha or our destiny will be created and used. So, am I clear?
Bye, sir.
Achha, any other?
Yes.
Given
all that you have described so beautifully, the magic of it all, but also the naturalness of it all, what would be your two or three most important tips for coming together now?
Yes. Number one is that coming together has a time factor, and coming together also has a status factor. Say, let us take beginning of the Silver Age. The first birth of the Silver Age, the souls of that particular time factor will come together. Say, Rama and the king and the queen, as well as royal family. Then there is royal subjects, and there are others also, servants and so on. So as per time factor, they have all come together, and as per the effort made now. But then the status factor is also there. They have come at the same time, but the status is different. So it is so set that a particular soul, although we have got an open sort of opportunity theoretically that we can become anyone, anywhere in the whole of the golden silver ages, but there are certain limitations which are naturally taking place. And the soul may have open opportunity, but its own limitations will make it to rise up to that level only. For instance, there is a small door, and one has to enter the hall from that door only. Obviously, there will be a crowd and a queue. say two people at a time can enter that. Even if they rush, they push, whatever it is. Still they will enter number-wise only because of that limitation. So therefore, say there are 1,000 seats in this hall and at random people just are asked to go and occupy any seat. So those who are able to get their seats, they will get and then others will go to back seats and so on and so forth. So it's a natural process that when the numbers are few, then you can, at your normal speed, in a normal royal way, you can proceed and have your whatever you like. But when the number grows, then there is a natural limitation. So all those factors are there in the drama. That's why Baba has given us the example of a tree. The example of a tree, especially the money and tree, excellently serves the purpose of our understanding how the sapling grows, how it grows into a trunk, how it spreads into branches, and then how it merges, and then how it re-emerges. The beauty is that Baba has given us the minutest understanding, and the best thing is that we are imperishable, immortal. You take away anything from me, but you cannot take away my eternal being, which contains everything. So it can reproduce itself. That is the beauty of it. So that gives us the solid stability, which you cannot get anywhere in the world. So that particular stability means little point of light, that is me, contains everything, which nothing on earth, anything may happen, can take away that. So therefore, I lose nothing. I collect things here as per my requirement or as per my, even wastage is collected around me, but everything taken away, I am still there. So that is the thing. But whatever I am there, you will find many nice fruits having a small little cover only to keep them free from dust and air. They are nice fruits, and there are little fruits with lot of leaves, etc., to protect them. It naturally happens as per the situation. That is why Baba says the souls of golden age. Now, gold has, you had asked me the science, gold has the property of molding. Gold in the pure form is very like liquid. And silver doesn't have that molding quality to that extent. That is why silver is mixed into gold. So we can see ourselves, say, my state of being, how much I find myself oneness with the entire Brahman family, as the souls of Brahman family, not having any understanding about the limitations of, say, country or any other thing, color, size, this, that, as souls. That is why the dadis, Baba sent the dadis to places where they did not know the language of that place. Even in India, they sent many areas of India have totally different language. You can't understand it. You have to be translated. So Baba sent them there. Even there, Baba sent Dadi Janki to overseas. Now, what was that which made them one with the local conditions? That was the language of love and feeling of oneness. They are mine. So that particular quality, if we develop, we don't see this is different from this and so on, then you can see the signs that this soul has a global role. Anywhere, because in the golden age these divisions etc. will not be there. But here we find, say, people from 15 countries come, and there is a dining hall. What you will find that on a table, only those of that particular country will like to feel convenient to sit together and talk, rather than taking an opportunity to sit with others and feel oneness. So that you can see the sign. If you feel comfortable anywhere in any situation and feel oneness, that is a sign. And the Dadis proved that because they did not speak the local language, but language of love, language of oneness, spiritual language. Their love was spiritual, their dealings were spiritual, and whatever limitation their soul has, with the power of Baba, they used Baba's power so that whatever small differences of sanskaras were there also were eliminated.
Bhai Sahib, Om Shanti. The question you have answered almost, but you did mention about the limitations in this journey, the sanskars. At this present time where we are, so if you can give us more steps how we can overcome this limitation of sanskars within each other so that our journey is smooth and also together.
Right. You know, normally in a journey what you find, supposing we are traveling by a train, especially in India, trains are crowded. At a station, a new passenger enters. Now, all passengers of a particular cabin, they could look at that person as a stranger, as if they were there in the cabin since eternity, and this new person, a stranger, has come. They will send vibration to him of a stranger, and he will also feel like a stranger. And then what happens? After some time, they have to adjust him. They will give him some space. He will sit. Now he becomes part of them. At the next station, another new one comes. Then all of them join together and consider that person as a stranger. So what I am trying to say is, this is how we adjust with people with whom we have lived for some time, and we consider any new situation, any new thing as something new. Although Baba has given us theoretical knowledge that there is nothing new, this came to you 5,000 years ago also, and you have passed through this, still it is happening. Now your question is, what next? So, Baba has told us, we have been Brahmins. This is some divine intervention or what? Achha. So, nice, it's over. So, Baba has given us now the understanding that we have been Brahmins for a long period, and Brahmin of the first day and Brahmin of today are different, naturally. Our one particular question, who am I, remains till the end. Who am I was my question on the first day. Who am I is my question today. And who am I will be my question on the last day. So now that our Brahmin journey is almost over in the physical form, Brahma Baba's journey was over, Brahmin journey in physical form, on 18th January 1969. Mateshwari's journey was over even earlier than that. And all Dadi's journeys we are finding is over. Even the next generation Brahmins are also leaving this physical body. In short, now Baba has told us our next sort of stopover is angelic stage. Okay? Now, if we intentionally and as a part of our effort shift to our angelic stage, which means that the whole of us in the same, this particular body, all our features, whatever we are, is intact, but there is no physical existence and there is no sound or this thing. We can move, we can have vibrations, we can experience, but there is no this physical. It is now subtle form. It has got so many advantages to take us to our final perfection. One is that in fact what soul gets is only what we call vibration, or it gets, in Hindi they call it vasana. I do not know how you translate vasana. Say we offer bhog to Baba, Baba does not eat that bhog, but Baba takes vasana. So how you translate it? Vibration? Acha. So, in fact, soul only takes vasana, and an angel can also take vasana. Without having, you know, even a little grain of rice does not enter the soul. Throughout, soul is only taking vasana. Happiness is vasana, feeling of happiness, feeling of love, whatever. Even hatred is only a vasana, negative vasana. So therefore, as in that dream, we move about, we have all the experiences, but it is not physical. And sometimes then it is a nightmare, and we wake up and feel so happy that a snake was running after me. Thank God it was not real. So this vasana is very important, because if we are in our angelic state, you can have all the experiences, but without any physical karmic account of that. So if somebody is fond of eating, say, sweets, so you can eat as many sweets, emerge a whole sweet shop in the subtle region, but you will have no effect on your body. You will not have any physical disability due to all that. So this thing is very important, and it will keep us light. That is what we want to be. Say there is a motor car and its engine is not working, and you have to push it. It will require four people to push it physically. But if you switch on the engine, then a one person can push it because of the vibration, it has become light. Similarly, now we are, the soul is in the body, I can at least walk, you can run. But if the soul leaves the body, four people are required to lift it, and they also feel tired after some distance, they let another person, it will become heavy. So this subtle region, now being in angelic form, in the physical Brahmin form, is the best way, because an angel cannot be considered as a male or a female. An angel does not stick to any place. An angel does not form relationships. An angel is always benevolent and good, well-wisher of all. So you can be an angel, you need not compare yourself with another one. You need not feel insulted. Angel does not feel insulted. So this angelic form, in the Brahmin form, is the number one stage. And then remaining an angel, coming into body like a bird comes, is the next stage. So this will help us to overcome all the, you know, otherwise there are comparisons, there are natural feelings in this physical world. We feel inconvenienced. So what we call tapasya? Tapasya means not doing things that you like or you are inclined to do, and liking to do things which we normally want to avoid. I want to avoid company. I want only a single room to myself. I'll feel more peaceful. If two come, my half peace is gone. If four come, my 25% peace is left only. There is one shower and so on. So all those problems are there in the physical world. Once you become angel, feel, you will say, other, you first, you take the shower, I will take the last, and you will really enjoy it. So basic thing is to withdraw from the physical. This is what Baba says, karmatit, performing the actions, but without getting attachment even to the good action. So that is very important. And that will help us to be in our point of light state for more time. So this is the process.
I think you might have already answered some of this, but my question is, you must have gone through many different phases on your spiritual journey in your Brahman life, and what is your the current phase you are in? What are your current thoughts, feelings, realizations, efforts? You just mentioned the angelic stage, but I was just wondering if there is anything else in terms of where you feel where you are at personally.
Well, personally, my introduction was given, he is editor of Purity. I stopped publishing Purity, I think 2 years back, because I thought it has served its purpose. Earlier I used to be selective, I was fond of songs, I used to sing, I used to feel proud, even Baba made me sing sometime one line, that I am God's singer, although I am not a professional singer, but one day I got the feeling I should stop singing. And now I enjoy the song more. It may come up to here or anyone sing it, but I don't sing. I used to create jokes. So I found that although those were gave temporary joy to me and to others, but I thought this is a lower type of joy. It's transient, passing joy. Stop that. So I am withdrawing, and I used to be choosy also, that this is a good service, and this, now I have given up. Anything that comes my way, I take it. It is as per drama. And if it doesn't come my way, I am equally comfortable. In other way, I am preparing, I am thinking that this body, now 90 years on 30th October, how long will it stay? And I have found all leaving the body, I have to leave this also. So I have to love it also because I can't, my journey is not being performed without this. I was thinking even a breath is a journey of one time. You can't do without it. And there are so many journeys. But the soul doesn't need any special effort to have a journey. Say, I have to go to next birth. I have no choice. And as the soul's time is over, it will automatically reach another place. It has its own dynamics. So I am now leaving things that I should be able to be happy and enjoy everything. And there should be no gap between, you know, there are certain periods when I am less happy and certain periods I am more happy. No, I have to be constantly like that. So this is my effort I am making. When sister told me, you are coming from a distance, you can talk on Zoom. I said yes. But then sister said that if we make it in the evening, it is better you come personally. I said yes. So like that, I enjoyed both ways.
Om Shanti, brother. So you said about the speed of the soul. Does drama also have a speed? And do we need to make effort to align with that speed to make our speed better? So how to do that alignment? Om Shanti.
There are two things. One is the speed and the other is direction. In which direction? So you will find within the body, the soul is inside the body, the speed of the mind is fastest. That we can experience. With the mind you can reach your country, your city, your water tap instantly. You can reach your past and so on. But if the mind has a limitation, then the direction will be towards what the mind likes or to what the mind is compelled to do. Sometimes supposing I develop stomach pain so much, I will forget everything and mind will go that I should go to a doctor or hospital. But that is under compulsion. As soon as that is over, I will forget that. But in my inclinations, my likings, naturally will take me, my mind, to that direction only. So here, the speed gets limited by my likes and dislikes, and also the direction in which I want to take it is not kept. So that is why Baba says, the test of my speed is, I should be able to take my mind wherever I want. Not that mind should take me, I should be able to take mind to wherever I want, for as long as I want, and then bring it back also from where I have taken it. So this is simply said, but you will notice somewhere the mind will play that trick. You will start with the intention of something, but after 2 minutes you will be gone elsewhere. And the cause is the deception this body gives us. This body tells me that I am your life. You give me a lot of fruits. You give me, do some walking, jogging, exercise, even at the cost of class or murli. Because then it will plead with me. This is, I am most valuable body. If I leave you, then your Sangam Yoga is over, and so on. Though actually, body is not life at all. It is the soul that is giving life to the body. But even understanding that, again and again, in different disguises, the body will cheat me. So much so it will say, I have left. In Hindi they say, maine pran tyag diye. I have left the soul. Actually, body is not leaving the soul. Soul is leaving the body. But body possesses me so much as if I am leaving, body is leaving the soul. Not that the soul is leaving the body. So therefore, this particular trick of the body limits my speed again and again. Through taste, through sounds, through whatever it is, comfort. For instance, Baba says, at night, just before sleeping, you sit for a while and give your account to Baba so that your account is settled on daily basis. You do not have to go to Dharamrajpuri. Okay. Now the body will tell me, make me lie. So, because you have done so much work, you are tired, let me lie and then remember me. Now tell me, does the soul lie with the body and does the soul sit with the body? No. But body will deceive me that as if sitting is discomfort, sitting and remembering is discomfort and lying and remembering is comfort. So it is deceiving me. Although the soul is neither sitting or lying, soul is a soul. So this way, this is a big hindrance. So, and Baba's direction, I very politely decline. I say, Baba, I am tired. I will lie and I will remember you, but after 1-2 minutes you will find you are gone. So if you are sitting, you are not gone. So like that it is. Again, supposing one night you are working up to say 11-12 PM. Okay. Now as per my habit, I will get up in the morning. I have got up because I have years of habit of getting up. Then I will look at the watch. Oh, I slept at 12. I must be tired. Now this body is deceiving me. If there was some urgency or some importance of there is a snake in front of me, I will not feel tired. But otherwise, sleep, because whole day you have to work, you are a karma yogi, you will be able to do better if you sleep now. So these are the small little deceptions. This body causes us and takes away our importance of Amrit Vela or importance of all those small bits of Srimad that Baba gives us to keep us happy. Baba says, follow my Srimad, but we follow big Srimad and we ignore small Srimad, and that causes the problem.
We have Brij Mohan Bhai here after 3 years, and so I think that we could perhaps take one more short question and then have Yog. Is there one urgent question that needs to be asked?
Bhai, so would you give us another word for togetherness which helps us keep our efforts for togetherness spiritual?
You know, Baba has given us the Sudarshan Chakra, okay? The disc. The disc must keep on moving, moving and moving. Because if it stands, then you are stuck up at a particular time factor. A song is going on, you enjoy the song. But if it is stuck up at one word, yogi, 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 and not yogi bano, then your whole concentration will come to the present point of time. So best thing is, we should keep attention that we are not stuck like an angel is not stuck at one place. We should keep, once we keep it moving like a flowing water, it will gather no moss and we will feel fresh. But it has to be intentionally done, but suddenly, you know, it will come to a halt. So that gives us a joy of our journey and especially where we are. So although the whole disc is moving, but we are at the most fortunate time. And this particular time is the vital for our whole cycle to move. So that will keep us fresh. Theek hai? And togetherness will come if you keep on saying who were with us in the golden age and then silver age and today and then again. This knowledge is given to us at the lowest point, and so we can enjoy the highest point. If it was given in between, we know that we have to go down, then you won't have enjoy that, this knowledge. That is why it is Baba keeps it. The whole cycle we have limited knowledge. Here only we can move the risk.
Bhai Saab, thank you so much for being with us. It's been such enlightening and a topic, and the way that you've explained it really has, I think, brought us into that awareness of how we can become angelic and the significance of that in terms of our togetherness.
Sister, nothing new.
It's nothing.
We did it last time, Kalpa also.
Yes, of course. Of course. But we value your input, and I think that we've taken so much from your journey and the way that you've been able to share it with us. So thank you so much, and thank you on behalf of all these souls here and those souls online. Om Shanti.